Well, good morning, my good morning live friends. It is so good to be with you this morning. I pray that you are having an amazing morning so far, great day. And if it hasn't been that, we'll get to expecting it to be that, because I am believing that for you, that every day is an amazing day, because when you're walking with Jesus, man, even our worst day with Jesus is better than our best day without him. So I know it can be an amazing day for you. Hey, good morning, Tanisha. Good to see you. So yeah, let me know where you're watching from. Let me know that you're with us today. Even if you're watching this on the replay later on, chat in, let us know. I know across all of our platforms, Instagram, X, YouTube, Facebook, I don't remember where else, Pioneer Network, obviously, we're airing on Twitch. And all, of course, all of our channels through Pioneer Network, the hundreds of places that you're watching from. If you can chat in, let us know, because I know so many people of you are watching every day, and it's just, we're almost building this kind of online community. So it's good to be able to do that together, see who's watching, kind of build that family. So yeah, we are Tuesday morning, April 1st. I have been waiting for today, not because it's a fool's day, but because it is April. And April, I think, is that month that's ushering in better weather. And I've been saying it all these several weeks. I have such great anticipation. Good morning, Tracy. For this spring season, I don't know why I like spring in general. Sometimes I think I over-spiritualize it because I feel like God's trying to do something or say something spiritually, and that it's a turning of a season. And maybe it's just me excited about spring. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a word from the Lord, but I have great anticipation for this spring. I think God's doing some amazing things. So as we hop into the word together, we launched in yesterday, which we're going to talk about all this week. Maybe beyond that, when I studied this out, I got 5 days of notes for it. And yesterday I didn't even get halfway through day one notes. So I don't want to miss any of it, because I think it builds upon each other. So we'll see how far we take this or how deep we dive into it. But I don't know that you can really dive too deep into this, because I think it is so good. Good morning, Haley. Good to see you. Good to be with you today. So yesterday we started talking about a principle found in scripture the whole way back in Genesis at the Garden of Eden, where God created mankind, and he did something unique. And this is kind of the foundational scripture of what we're looking at. But it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." So God created mankind in the garden, and the first thing he did was apply his blessing or his favor or his goodwill towards them, right? And he said, this will be the empowerment. He said, now you've received my blessing. So, hey, good morning, Denise. You've received my blessing. So now be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Another translation would say, have dominion over the earth. So God didn't ask them to do anything until he first blessed them. Why? Because the blessing from the Father was the empowerment for them to do what he would ask them to do in their next assignment, right? So he blessed them and then said, be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish the earth, have dominion over the earth. Good morning, Danielle. Good to see you. So we see right from the very beginning, the very, very pinnacle thing that God's relationship with humanity was he created them, and then his first desire was to impart the blessing onto his creation. Very first thing God does is imparts that blessing to his creation, right? So we move forward in that journey a little bit, and we see that Adam and Eve were in this picturesque garden. You know, and this is before sin had come in and the earth was producing for them. They didn't have to work, if you will, by the sweat of their brow. They didn't have to till the ground to try to get the ground to do something. No, the earth just produced. It worked for their benefit. It's like the earth was there almost to just supply and produce for them. And they just lived in this great economic system that God had created, where they had fellowship with God. The earth was producing for them. They had perfect unity one with another. It was divine, for lack of better words. Well, Adam and Eve chose to sin and rebel against God by eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then for the first time, sin entered the bloodstream of humanity. And now a holy, perfect, pure, spotless God could not have fellowship with a sinful creation. So now there was this separation. And really what they had done is they had removed themselves from the blessing. And what came on them? The curse, right? So even when God spoke to them, he said, the curse is now what you will receive. That women, you will have pain in childbirth, and men, you have to till the ground because it's going to work in opposition to you now. Now the world is literally working in opposition. That's a part of the curse, right? So now Adam and Eve are under the curse, and God is trying to get the blessing back to humanity. He's trying to get the blessing. He's trying to get that union restored. He's trying to get us back to how he created us to live, to try to get us back in that divine place. So he goes and makes a covenant with Abraham and says to Abraham, Abraham, I will bless thee and I will make a great nation from you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed, right? And we see Abraham walking in some of that blessing on his life, that, you know, he became very rich in cattle and silver and gold, right? We see that his descendant, Isaac, because it was a family line blessing, Isaac sowed in famine. Again, that's a picture of the earth is still cursed. We talked about this yesterday. This is all just a review, but the earth is still cursed. The earth was, hey, good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. And that's why there's still famine. That's why there's still darkness on the earth. But Isaac would sow in the middle of that famine and receive a hundredfold blessing or a hundredfold return. Why? Because the blessing was upon him. So anybody else would sow in famine would expect to receive the harvest of sowing in famine. But this is the concept. But when the blessing is on you, when the favor of God is on you, when the power and the presence of God is on you, as it was with Adam and Eve, as it was with Abraham, as it was with Isaac, when the blessing of God is on you, you can sow in famine, but not reap a famine return, but reap a hundredfold return. Why? Is it something that you did? No. It's the fact that the favor, the undeserved, unmerited favor and blessing of God is on you. Now, we talked about that, you know, the blessing isn't just about, it produced riches in Abraham's life, but this isn't about just getting more stuff. This is about a restored divine relationship with God, where we expect things to work in our benefit and our favor, right? This isn't, you know, a marketing scheme by God to get people to sign up and promise them riches, right? No, this is about, I think that's a byproduct of it, but this is about having that divine restored relationship with our Heavenly Father, the way it was intended back in the garden. But as a result, the blessing will make you flourish when others are failing. The blessing will make you flourish when others are failing. So that's where we left off yesterday. I want to complete these notes because, again, as I said earlier, it's building every day one to another. So he gave it to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost it. He gave a portion of the blessing as much as he could to Abraham and Isaac, and that generation. But the full restoration of the blessing was given to us through the work of the cross, through the work of the cross. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, listen, remember, Adam and Eve had the blessing. They lost the blessing. What replaced the blessing? The curse, right? They lost the blessing and they received the curse as a result of their disobedience, right? So now listen to Galatians 3, 13. Now, Christ, Jesus, Christ has redeemed us. Just pause there. He redeemed us. He called us out. He removed it from us. He saved us from. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, you might be saying, well, that's the redemption of the curse of the law. Is that the same curse that Adam and Eve had? Yes, because before Adam and Eve sinned, there was a need for law because there was no entrance of sin. So because sin came in, there was the need for law. It had to show that this was right, this was wrong. Before sin came in, there wasn't a need for the law, right? So this is the redemption from the curse of the law to receive the blessing of Abraham, which is the same blessing that he gave Adam and Eve in the garden, that it might come through onto us, the Gentiles. What do we mean by Gentiles? Well, most of us, if you're watching this and you're living in America today, you probably weren't born a Jew. Maybe you were, but we weren't born into the Jewish faith. So therefore, we are Gentiles. However, through the work of the cross, not only could the Jews be saved, but the Gentiles could be saved. Abraham and Isaac, that is the Jewish family line that the blessing of God would be upon. We weren't born into that line, but through the work of the cross, we were redeemed from the curse of the law and engrafted in to that blessing, to that family line through the work of Jesus Christ. So some things we got to know about this is Jesus didn't just save us from our sin. He did. He did. But in addition to saving us from our sin, he restored the blessing back into our lives. Now, I think this is big right here because this is where most of us fall short. We don't have a problem coming to an altar and repenting of our sin because internally we have that divine conscious on the inside of us that knows we're a sinner, even when we don't know that we're a sinner. Like we know that, we're separated from God and that we need a savior. We know that on our own efforts, we can't be better and we can't be righteous, right? Like that's kind of ingrained in us. But then we discover grace and we discover the work of the cross and we discover the price that Jesus paid. And it's like, man, I couldn't do this on my own, but he did it for me. And we'll come to an altar and we'll receive forgiveness for our sins and receive redemption. And we receive justification, which means to be justified with God, just as if we had never sinned. And we receive that onto ourselves. But we stop there. And that's good. I mean, that's incredible that we were saved from sin. But listen, everything you get from God, you get by faith receiving. So think of it this way. Jesus died for your sins long before you were ever born. So it was provided 2,000 years ago at the cross. You receiving it into your life hinges on whether or not you will reach out in faith, believing that he provided it, and then by faith receiving it, saying, Father, I receive that gift back into my life. I receive faith back into my life. Are you with me? So how do we get forgiveness? How do we get salvation? We believe that it was paid for at the cross, and we receive it into our lives by faith, okay? Everything we receive from God, healing, deliverance, blessing, anything you need from God is it's the same pattern. We believe that he provided it, and we reach out in faith and we receive it, right? So we can come to God. We believe that he redeemed us from our sins. We believe that we are the righteousness of God. We believe that through the finished work of the cross, he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But don't stop there, because he didn't just save you and redeem you from the curse. What did Galatians say? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Okay? So he redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing might come upon us. So does God want you set free from sin? Yes. Does he also want the blessing on your life? Yes. Come on, this is good gospel news to somebody today. It's good news to me. Is that he didn't want to just save me. He wanted me redeemed from the curse of the law, and he wanted the blessing restored back into my life. What Adam lost in the garden, God is saying, I have redeemed you. I've paid the price, not just that you would be free from sin. Don't stop there. Take another step forward and receive the blessing. Receive what Adam lost. Receive what I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Receive that back into your life. Come on, somebody. So we got to know today, just as we aren't waiting for Jesus to go back to the cross to die for a sin that I committed yesterday or a sin that you're commit tomorrow, we believe that he already paid the price. It's done once and for all. We're not waiting for redemption from the cross. Come on. It's already been done. The same as that is the same as receiving the blessing. We aren't waiting for the blessing. The blessing was given in the garden, was lost, but given back to Abraham. And then through the work of the cross, just as salvation was given, and we don't wait for it, the blessing was provided back to the cross. Well, why don't we see it? Why don't we always receive this? Well, because we get nervous about it. We get nervous about saying, well, God wants us to restore back to how it was in the garden. God wants our relationship with Jesus restored back into the garden. God wants our dominion to be restored back to us as it was in the garden. God wants us to rule and to have dominion and dominate this earth. He wants us to expect things to work for us. He wants the earth to produce for us. He wants us to expect things to work in our favor. Come on. So we receive it the same way we receive salvation. We believe that it was provided. We reach out in faith and we receive it into our lives. And we say, I fully expect. Now listen, hear my heart on this. I'm not saying that you have to sin every day and that, you know, we preach that way of, well, we're all going to sin, so we're just sinning. You know, I don't think you have to sin every day. You know, I think, you know, if Jesus could do it, you know, we can do it. We don't have to sin. But the reality is, when I do fall and I do fail, I still expect 100% to get into heaven. Why? Because I believe in my heart that what I believe and have received by faith that Jesus did on the cross is enough to cover my sin even when I fail. Right, so my expectation of heaven doesn't change because I've sinned, because I believe that what he provided is enough. I expect it. I expect when I close my eyes on this planet, I expect to open them on the streets of heaven. The same way that we need to change our mentality to say, I've received not only salvation, but I've received the blessing. I've received the blessing that God poured out on Adam and Eve. I received the blessing that he gave to Abraham. I received that blessing into my life, which means I have an expectation that even when things go wrong, right? Because why? The world is still cursed. The earth is still cursed. Like, why are there storms? Why are there earthquakes? Why are all these? Because the earth is still cursed. The earth won't be redeemed until we come back with Christ after the 1,000-year millennial reign and we rule and reign with him. And it says then he'll create a new heaven and earth. Right? Then the earth is redeemed. Then it's recreated. Until then, the earth is still cursed. But we, through the work of the cross, can be removed from the curse and put back under the blessing. Hey, good morning, Sue. That's why one of my favorite Christmas songs, and every year at Christmas, I talk about it, but is Joy to the World. And it's that one line, because I remember singing it a few years ago, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. His blessing flows far as the curse is found. His blessing flows far as the cursed is found. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why? Because it was the entrance of the blessing coming back to flow anywhere the curse was, it's removed. So we live in this weird dichotomy that we live in a cursed earth on a cursed planet that's under the curse of sin. But when we come to Jesus, we get redeemed from that curse and we receive the blessing. That's why the Bible says it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. You're going to experience some things in your life and in this world that we wouldn't have experienced back in the garden, because we're not in the garden, we're in now in a cursed earth. However, because the blessing is on me, I expect that even when the results of a cursed world show up in my life, come on, the blessing flows far as the curse is found. I expect the blessing of God to activate in my life. Like there was that clip of that lady on that game show who did that Holy Spirit activate thing that was real popular on social media a year or two ago, right? Like I expect that when the rains fall, blessing activate. I expect that when the curse comes knocking on my door, blessing activate. Right? I don't have to wait for the blessing. He's already provided the blessing through Jesus Christ. So just as I do when sin enters my life and I've made a mistake, what do? I run back to the cross and I say, Father, forgive me. I receive a fresh dose of your forgiveness. I receive a fresh dose of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. So what do I do? The same principle. What do? When the curse tries to knock on the door of my life, Father, I receive a fresh dose of your blessing. I believe the blessing is on me. I believe that I don't operate under the curse. Nothing that I touch is cursed. Everything I put my hands to do, what does the Bible say? Everything that we put our hands to do is, write it in the chat, blessed, right? Everything we put our hands to do is blessed. Why? Because the blessing is on us. And when we touch a cursed thing, it becomes blessed. Man, this goes so deep. That's why he says, call for the elders of the church. When you're sick, have them lay hands on. Why? Because we're blessed. And when we touch something that the curse is trying to establish itself in, come on, the blessing flows anywhere the curse is found. That's why, come on, there's power in laying on of hands. I know sometimes we've fallen into this, you know, well, we don't want to be weird and we don't want to, you know, if God's leading you to pray for somebody, just say, hey, listen, can I lay my hands on you and pray? Why? Because there's something about that tangibility. Anything they set their hands to do is blessed. Your home is blessed. Your car is blessed. Your family is blessed. Your job is blessed because you are there. Because everywhere the curse is, when the blessing comes in, the curse has to escape. It's like light and darkness. It just, they can't coexist. But why don't we see this always, Pastor? Why don't we see this in our lives? Come on, because if I'm walking around saying I'm not forgiven, Christ's blood wasn't enough, my sins are still applied to me, am I forgiven? I would dare say no. Why? Because forgiveness is received through faith. Through faith. So if I'm walking around saying I'm not forgiven, you know, God's going to judge me and I'm never going to get into heaven and I'm a sinner. All right. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Abraham believed God when there was no evidence of his righteousness. And the Bible says God accounted it to him as righteousness because he simply believed. I know I'm forgiven, not because I received a card from heaven in the mail that says, hey, as of this date, you are forgiven. I receive it by faith. I'll walk boldly into those gates of heaven. I walk boldly into the throne room of God. Why? Because I believe by faith that I have received the finished work of Calvary. So now let's move this on. Again, we were redeemed from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. So when I'm walking around and I'm saying, nothing ever goes in my favor, I probably won't get the job. Yeah, it just seems like I got to fight harder than everybody else. It seems like everybody else is winning. Nothing good ever happens in my life. Everybody rejects me. My marriage is doomed. That is the same thing as walking around and saying, I'm not forgiven. Christ's blood wasn't enough. Because what did Galatians say? He redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. So what should we be doing? The same thing we do when it comes to our sin. That's under the blood. That's forgiven. That's washed. That is not held to my account. That is thrown, the Bible says, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me again. So now, when it seems like the results of a cursed world are knocking on my door, what do I do? How do I respond? I'm blessed. I expect to see the blessing. I expect to see it manifested in my life. I understand that the economy collapsed, and I'm using it as an example, but you know, I understand, you know, the world is in chaos. I understand all of that, but I expect the blessing. Why? It's not that I'm a greedy, you know, I just want blessed. I want the, no, I expect it because Christ died to not only forgive me, but he died on the cross to restore the blessing back to all who would call on his name. And if Jesus would take the 39 stripes on his back for my healing, and if he would carry that heavy, rugged cross up Calvary's hill, and if he would willingly lay down, and as they drove nails through his hands and his feet, as he would hang there as they shoved a sword into his side and put that crown of thorns onto his head and bleed so that I could not only be forgiven, but that I could receive the blessing, then you better be sure that while I'm alive on this planet, I am going to contend to not only receive every ounce of forgiveness that Jesus died to give me, but I am going to contend to walk in the blessing that he died that I could receive. Come on, somebody. I receive the blessing because Christ died to give it to me. Like, we honor those who have fought for our country and have given the greatest sacrifice and died so that we could live in freedom. I mean, what a shameful person it is to ever put down the cost and the gift of somebody who laid down their lives advancing and protecting the freedom that we experience as a nation. That would be a horrid thing. I mean, they died so that I could be here and live in freedom. So for me to say, you know what, we're going to give, our freedom away, and we're going to, you know, live under communist rule, or we're going to, you know, live under some kind of other form of government, would be to look at everyone who laid down their lives for our freedom and say, thanks, but no thanks. And I dare say, I know this is bold. That's right, Haley. It's our inheritance. That's 100% what it is. But it's not just an inheritance that, you know, oh, well, they died, so it's just automatically mine. It is an inheritance that somebody willingly gave up their lives so that we could receive. So when I walk around with my faith low, and I walk around, you know, with this mindset that woe is me and everything going against me and the world works against me and I'll never, you know, see the blessing of God and I'll never prosper and I'm always, you know, depressed and I'm always broke and I just have no expectation. I am literally rejecting the blessing, rejecting the inheritance that Jesus went to a cross and died so that we could see restored into our lives. Come on, I know that's a big thing. I know that's a heavy thing. But this is the blessing. This is what God died to give us. So stop chasing the blessing. The same as you wouldn't chase forgiveness. We don't chase the blessing, but we start expecting by faith the blessing to be manifested in our lives. And we start walking in it. The blessing is not something that we earn. It is received by faith through the covenant, and I don't have time to go into that today, but by the covenant that God established with his son, Jesus, on the cross. God, Abraham failed in his covenant. Anytime God tried to make a covenant with man, they always failed. So Jesus stepped in and said, I will be the covenant. So God made a covenant with his son, and as a result of that covenant, we receive forgiveness. We receive eternal life, and we receive the blessing, the same blessing that he blessed Adam and Eve with in the garden. We receive it. It's ours, the same blessing he gave to Abraham. It's ours. So I don't chase it. I don't have to search for it or beg for it. It's already been provided. It's already mine. So am I saying you're never going to have a bad day? No. We live on a cursed earth. In a cursed world amongst people who haven't received this revelation. So I know things are going to happen. Problems are going to arise. There's going to be opportunities to fear. There's going to be opportunities to doubt. There's going to be opportunities to be discouraged. There's going to be opportunities to live in shame. There's going to be opportunities for all of that. But just as I would come back to the cross and say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness, I come back to the cross and say, Father, forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for being discouraged. Forgive me when you provided me the blessing. And I receive the blessing. And I expect to see the blessing in my life. Come on, somebody. So let me pray for you today. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Well, Lord, first, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you went to the cross. And just as Galatians says, you didn't just die to redeem us from the curse of the law, but you died to redeem us from the curse of the law, also that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. And Father, today we receive that blessing. We receive that blessing by faith, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing that you gave Adam that was lost due to sin. We receive it back, restored into our lives. And now, Father, we understand that we live in a cursed world, and we understand that at times things will rise up unexpectedly. But when they do, Father, we thank you that we don't stand alone, but we stand with forgiveness on our side and the blessing and the favor of God surrounding us. So we expect good reports. We expect favor with man. We expect favor from God. We expect divine interventions. We expect divine turnarounds. We expect things to just work for our benefit as the earth did for Adam and Eve, just produce for us unexpectedly. We receive it by faith. And we say, yes. We expect our marriages to work. We expect our children to follow after God. We expect our homes to be blessed. We expect everything we put our hands to do to be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Well, so good to be with you today. Remember, Saturday night, 7 p.m., I expect by faith to see you at Hope City Church as we have our revival weekend. I expect to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as Bishop Amos brings the word, Valor Christian College coming. Come on, do whatever you got to do to get in the house this weekend. It's going to be great. Amen. Thanks for being with me today. Go with God.